Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session with a new whiskey to talk about. I was home in Buffalo, New York for a family reunion and got to try to scour the liquor stores of Western New York for things I had not seen before. And I had never seen Lexington Bourbon. It's a bourbon from Lexington, Kentucky with a horse on the bottle. None of that shocking because Lexington is famous for horses and Kentucky for bourbon. 43%, 86 proof. It's a straight Kentucky bourbon whiskey, and I will call it good, not special by any means. I don't remember what I paid for it. It was right around $30. I certainly don't regret it. I'm going to score it an 88.
I'll score it the same. Okay. I mean, it doesn't really stand out. It's not terrible. It's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
It's not overly pungent. It's a good, easy sipping whiskey. Good to blend up.
I wouldn't feel bad putting this in a cocktail at all.
No. You can use that for mixed drinks and whatever. I mean, it's not bad. It's not nearly my favorite. I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
Right.
I
would put it on par with,
it's a
bit better than Jim Beam and a bit better than Ten High or Heaven Hill.
It's above average whiskey.
Right. I hate to say it,
which is fine.
But right, exactly. Right. We're not shooting on it.
They're not all going to be the greatest whiskeys of all time, right? Like, yep. They're not all going to be the greatest bourbons and the greatest scotches or whatever. And we need to go back to a scotch.
We haven't done scotch in a while.
Right. We need to get our hands on a good scotch.
I went bourbon nuts in Buffalo because I know I can get. Well, the problem most is scotches you can get them anywhere, right?
It's not even that.
If you get them here, you get them there.
You're limited on the scotches that you're going to get. Obviously, the tariffs and all that has an impact on what we're getting, what the costs are. They're a lot more expensive. You can get multiple really good bourbons for under $40, under sure. $30. Where with scotch, you're going to need to spend $60, $75, $100 for one good bottle. So for one good bottle of scotch, you can get anywhere from 2 to 3 good bottles of bourbon, and that's where it is. It's not that I like any one better. I know some people who can only drink bourbon from bottom of the barrel to the best, but they can't drink scotch at all, and vice versa.
I know people say that. I don't get that.
Right. Whiskey's whiskey. I love it all. I mean, the flavor profiles are different, and that's what makes them so good, right? I mean, to me, they're
I mean, they're different animals. Scotch is a totally different thing than a bourbon.
It's completely different.
But it's still really enjoyable.
Scotch is different than bourbon. Scotch is different than Irish whiskey. Irish whiskey is different than Japanese whiskey.
Right.
Japanese whiskey is different than French whiskey.
Although Japanese whiskey does try to emulate other cultures. They make a lot of bourbon styles and a couple of scotch styles.
They do, but the Japanese whiskeys are completely different than any other whiskey you've tasted. And it's just because their water is different, their trees are different, their wood is different.
And their culture is different in the sense that they make everything super, super sanitary.
Right.
Is not necessarily a good thing in making whiskey because you lose out on some of the herbal.
I disagree.
Disagree all you want.
But their whiskey is still fucking
amazing.
Oh, it's
still good. It's still good.
Their whiskey is amazing.
It's different.
That Suntory whiskey, the Habiki or Habeki, those are really
fantastic,
good whiskeys.
Fantastic. Just when they tried to emulate some of the older style bourbons, I had a friend who worked for Four Roses, and he was sent to Japan to try to make Four Roses.
Did he now?
Oh, good for you.
Congratulations,
we need that soundbite from Christian Bale's Meltdown. But anyway, so last week we talked about social media. We put something out there. We kind of got away from the news. The week before, we talked about the fact that neither of us expected Jeffrey Epstein to have a long time to make it in prison. And by the time we're back, Mr. Epstein is no longer in prison in New York because he's dead. Now,
yeah, I mean, okay, so let's just be clear. So Washington Post puts out this thing where, and so we're recording, a week after they find him dead?
Yeah, dead on Saturday, and we're talking on Friday, so.
Right, so, it's been a week, so there's a lot of news that's come out, and since he killed himself, you know, you have the coroner's report that said, hey, you know, like he also had a, you know,
a broken bone in his neck.
You know, multiple broken bones in his neck, which, you know, seems like could indicate he was strangled as opposed to him hanging himself. And there's all these conspiracy theories. Listen, one, we told you here 2-3 weeks ago, whenever this guy went to jail, like, listen, he wasn't long for jail. Either he was going to kill himself or someone was going to kill him for any multiple reasons, right? Whether it was his own guilt or someone...
Bill Clinton did it.
Well, his own guilt or, you know, some big angry dude in prison who doesn't like child rapists does it. Or, you know, some...
That's like
some,
the one thing you can do in prison that makes everyone want to murder you. If you're a child rapist...
That's not true.
Okay, it's one of the things.
Well, I think that there's so many scumbags in prison. I think that's a myth that, you know, the pedophiles get treated worse than everybody else. Prison is a... Our prison system is so polluted and so fucked up now, like that, like it's like all bets are off.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But I mean, I think there were any number of scenarios where Jeffrey Epstein wasn't going to make it out. The one that everybody fell in love with was some high-powered individual was going to send in a prison assassin to take out Jeffrey Epstein, and that was going to be the end of it, right? I don't believe that that's what happened. What I do believe... Now, if you can convince me that somebody with influence was able to say, listen, we can't get anybody in because we can't get them out, and it's not worth the paper trail of paying someone to kill him on the inside. But what we can do is talk to and convince you know, the guards and the warden... to, you know, everybody fall asleep and not check on him for an extended period of time and let him realize that he's got time to do what he needs to do. If you want to convince me that someone paid off these guards and paid off the warden who have all since been moved or, you know, suspended with pay.
That's the best way to get suspended.
You know, suspended with pay or moved to another facility. If someone with influence called them and said, maybe we don't check on him every half hour. Maybe we check on him every 3 hours. Don't you guys have, aren't you guys understaffed? Don't you have a lot of people working overtime? Don't you know, aren't your guys exhausted and tired? It seems like that's the case. So maybe that's the case. And then nobody checks on him for 3 hours as opposed to every half hour. He takes the message and then he kills himself. I believe that's a likely scenario. I mean, I also believe that just that our prison system is a complete clusterfuck, and I believe that they fucked this up. Now, did they fuck it up on purpose, or is it just complete ineptitude? I don't know, but one way or another, it happened. But I don't believe that someone snuck in, killed him, snuck out, and whatever. Like, I don't think there's any mystery how he died. He fucking offed himself. And the question is, what were the circumstances that had allowed him to do that?
He may have been assisted in that, though. I mean, his cellmate was a scary, fucking, crazy
dude
ass.
Dude was out the day before. We know that for a fact.
Okay, do we know that for a fact? Or we know it was reported that way? Because we don't have video.
We
don't know. And the other conspiracies that I love is that he's actually on some island in the Bahamas and they found a body double, which I don't believe. But it's not the craziest thing I've ever heard. I mean, he had enough money to make something crazy like that happen. I'm not saying it did. I don't believe it did. But it's not the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It is.
Is it really?
It is.
Do you remember when Ken Lay died like 2 days before his trial for the Enron thing? And again, he died and his body was cremated before he would do anything?
Do you believe that Ken Lay is alive?
I do not.
Okay. He's not alive.
I do not.
All right. But Jeffrey Epstein is dead.
And I'm not crying about it, by the way.
All right. And I'm not... trust me. You know me. Like, of all my issues, like, child abuse and child porn, like, all that shit rubs me just the complete wrong way.
I commended you for your
this guy is dead.
On,
Okay? Now, the question is, how did he die? I believe that he killed himself. The question is, what are the circumstances that allowed him to kill himself? Right? I'm going based off the evidence that I actually have. There's nothing that shows me or tells me that someone killed this guy. Right? Everything... And now, if you're saying, oh, well, you can't believe, like, the media and the government and lies and treachery and deceit... Okay, fine. You want to go down that road, go down that road. Not you. No,
I've got a question. I got a question for you.
What's your question?
Do you think Ariel Castro killed himself willingly, or was it a similar situation where, like, you ain't going to like this, we're going to make sure you don't
Ariel
like this?
Ariel Castro's a little bit different.
A lot different. Ariel Castro didn't have the financial ability to make these conspiracies worth asking. But I don't believe Ariel Castro died unassisted, and I don't think Jeffrey Epstein died unassisted. If you want my guess as to what happened, I would guess the guard said, right now, the Crips and the Aryan Nation are having a bidding war on who gets to pull a train on you right now. And that bidding war ends in 10 minutes. Oh, here's something to hang yourself with, and I'm going to fall asleep right now. Up to you, Jeff. That would be my guess, but purely speculation.
Something a little bit, now that's
is what I just said. Disgusting, sure, but I'm not
you're probably
it's
not crazy. That could be, that is believable, but I still, again, I believe that he killed himself. I don't believe that someone killed him. I don't believe that there's this conspiracy that the Clintons or the Saudis or the
or Trump
or Trump or the British Royals or the New Zealand Royals or I mean, like, this guy had connections everywhere. It's fucking wild. I don't believe that's what happened. I believe he killed himself because he had time. The question is, how did the prison allow him to have the time to do this?
And the means. Because that's the other thing. Is he was on suicide watch, which supposedly is take away your ability to do
from
these things.
From what I heard, he used the bed sheet and he hung himself off the edge of the bed. And it's not easy, but, I mean, listen. All right, let's just think about the scenario. You've got a guy who has access to millions and millions, maybe $1 billion, right? We know he was loaded. I don't know how much, but once you get to...
Once you own an island...
Once you own a fucking island in one of the biggest residential places in New York City, you know, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
This guy is used to being pampered and having everything handed to him for at least the last 25, 30 years, right?
Sure.
So you put him into prison, and you no longer have access to any of that. You can't have sex with your young girls. You don't get to pick your meals. You don't get your booze. You don't get your drugs, if that was his thing. Like, whatever, all the shit that he was into, you don't get any of that. Right? So now you go from the lap of luxury to a prison cell in New York, in a federal prison.
See, which, not quite Rikers Island, but
right,
not too
I mean,
far off.
Right, I mean, like, and listen, we've got people doing documentaries on how fucked up our prison system is and how atrocious it is and just the circumstances that people and like, how people are living, like, it's inhumane, right? I mean, we have, like, you can go on Netflix and there are a million, you could probably find 15 to 20 different documentaries on how fucked up our state, local, federal prison system is.
Sure.
So this guy goes from living... getting waited on hand and foot to, you know, getting punched in the face for asking for clean water. So the idea that this guy killed himself is not that far off. And you're like, oh, well, it's hard to kill yourself in prison. Yeah, it's fucking hard to kill yourself. But when you go from people waiting on you hand and foot to giving you every meal that you want to bringing you young girls to fuck to now you get nothing, then all of a sudden it doesn't seem that far-fetched that you would figure out any way possible to make the torture end.
Yeah,
right, and the guy is a flake. He's weak. He was weak. He was a weak man, and it doesn't like that. For you to prey on children tells me all I need to know about your character. So the idea that he took the easiest way out possible, which is to kill himself, right? Not stand trial. Not look the victims in the eye. Not pay his actual debt that he owes, which he could never repay. This doesn't surprise me. It's not above him. And the fact that, yeah, it's hard to kill yourself when you're on suicide watch in a federal prison. Yeah, it's hard, but it can definitely be done. What I heard, he used a bed, you know, and I hate to gossip what I heard, but he used a bed sheet. He tied it to the bed. He tied it around his neck. He jumped out. He went to his knees and basically... strangled himself to death, and by the time they got him, he was out of oxygen.
And there have been some celebrity suicides that were not too different than that in terms of physical actions, so I did make
a terrible, terrible joke, though, early on when this happened.
Oh, no. Are you going to share it with us now?
Yeah. So, when it came out that he hung himself...
You're clearly
and I was
remorse
just like,
for this joke, okay.
Oh, well, he pulled a fucking Robert Carradine. I do this every Thursday night. I just
that is a terrible joke. I
know when to put my feet down.
It's too soon, and I mean that from a Robert Carradine standpoint.
A little autoerotic asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation that went badly. You know, a little. All right, we're moving on because I'm watching our subscription list just go like the tractor beam.
Or it's
Star
going
Wars.
Up. Depending on what you're into, it could be going up.
And there's that. All right. So we just had to bring this up because we did predict that Mr. Epstein would not be long for this world once he was. That was the easiest prediction we've ever had in the show. Interesting week in politics, though. Your boy Anthony Scaramucci, who you love, who I've actually watched on a bunch of different venues. He was on Bill Maher. He was on CNN. And you know what? For a guy who had an 11-day political career to remain relevant 2 years after being fired, or roughly 2 years after being fired, is kind of interesting. And honestly, I kind of start to like this guy. Because he talks about the fact that he wants to be friends with Trump, that they had a friendly relationship, but he also has a desire to stay true to his political beliefs, which he's also stated very clearly. And he has basically said Trump is one more fuck-up away from people like him looking for a primary challenger to Trump in the 2020 primaries. I don't think it'll happen, although a few big names have put their names out there, Bill Weld and John Kasich being the two biggest ones. And that would make the clusterfuck that is the Democratic Party actually look less dysfunctional than they actually are if there was a primary challenger to Trump. Again, I don't think it'll happen. What are your thoughts?
I don't think there'll be a primary challenger to Trump. I think there's a lot of people who talk a lot of shit, but none of them have the actual balls to do what they need to do. Right? They just don't.
Bill Weld does?
Kasich doesn't have the balls. Well, they don't have the balls. They just don't. Right?
I think they do. I don't think the party does.
They don't. They need to.
Well, because Bill Weld said, I'm in. Now, he has to get the momentum to actually get somewhere. Kasich has said, I'm in if I think I'm going to win,
But, I mean, like, listen, this is the sort of thing where if you really wanted to do it, it wouldn't be about the party and going to the GOP or the RNC I'm going to need some support and I'm going to need some money and I'm going to... No, if you were really gung-ho about this, you would just say, fuck this, I'm doing it. Right, you would go in guns a-blazing, and you would get your grassroots campaign going, and you would just hit the ground running, if you were serious about it. They're not. So right? They're saying the right things, and they're hoping that there's a crack in the armor. And if there's an opportunity for them to slip in, then they will. But there won't be, and they're not going to. Like it's not happening. I mean, like the idea of, I mean, all these guys are just they're all the same. Like, none of them like Trump. Trump, but none of them have the spine. I mean, they're all Lindsey Graham, cookie cut. Do you remember Lindsey Graham during the 20... during the campaign. Yep. All the shit that he said about Trump. You know, and now every time that guy opens his mouth, I mean, he might as well just be sucking Trump's cock. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, all these guys, they're all the fucking same. Lindsey Graham is a bad example, in my opinion, because Lindsey Graham is a...
They're all the same.
The only one that I think might actually make a stir is Bill Weld, because I don't think he has anything to lose. I mean, Kasich does.
You're overthinking this.
You accuse me of that all the time.
Well, because it's not about whether he has something to lose, win, gain. He's not going to get the support from the RNC. Period.
You know, and I don't even know, Steve, how a primary challenge to an incumbent president even works, because I've never seen one. I know there have been a few.
The way you do it, you have to go in, and when Ted Kennedy did it, you have to go in acknowledging that you're not going to get the support from the party.
Here's my argument with you then, because we've talked so many times about how we are in a different world, right?
That's fine, but has anyone, like, you're putting your faith in Bill Weld, and he's...
I'm not.
I'm just like, this is one of those things that I'll believe it when I see it. There's just nobody that I believe that has the intestinal fortitude to actually go out there and say, you know what, Trump, I'm tired of your bullshit, I'm tired of your rhetoric, I'm tired of your bad policies. Our national debt is, you know, just climbing every single day, and we say we're, you know, about fiscal responsibility, and yet
we're
just blowing money left and right on all sorts of things. You're talking about buying Greenland, all this shit. Like, there's no one out there that I believe that has the balls to actually say that they're going to challenge him in a primary. Now, the flip side to that is, there's a specific reason why most people won't, because listen, Trump is the incumbent. And so, in terms of, all right, well, even if he is challenged, he doesn't have to do a debate, right?
Again, I don't know how that works.
I know how it works. He doesn't have to. The challenger,
the RNC doesn't set the rules there?
No, they do not.
All right.
Challenger can say, I want a debate. Trump can say, I do not. And Challenger has no say over it. Now, listen.
But they have to go through a process, though.
How is the RNC going to make the president sit down for a debate?
I'm not saying they will. They can.
What's the mechanism that they're going
to do? So they can't make a debate. There's not one. But there is going to be. So typically, when there's an incumbent, there is a quote-unquote primary, and nothing happens, and when it comes time to nominate a candidate, they nominate the candidate.
But and occasionally someone raises their hand and goes, there's no mechanism to make the incumbent sit down for a debate.
But they don't need to debate him. We're going to go down a rabbit hole.
That's a critical part of this, right? If you're going to challenge him, like you need to challenge him on the merits. Now, you can do it all you want, but if he's not going to debate, the way it's going to work is, he's going to say, I'm the president of the United States. I'm worried about the Democrats. I'm not debating you. No one, you're a nobody. Screw you. Fuck off. Right?
Sure.
And then the other guy's like, see, he's afraid to debate me. Right? What's Trump's base going to do?
Trump's base is one thing.
They're going to support him no matter what. Yep. All 29 to 35% of the voting, they're all going to support him no matter what. Right? And he's going to use that and say, I can get more as I need them. I'm not going to waste time debating this person for whatever reason. And there's no mechanism to make him debate them. Right? Now, that other person could say, see, he's afraid to debate me. But the problem is, no one's really going to care.
Well, I mean, I don't want to go too far into this.
You're going to care, but you're not going to vote for Trump no matter what, right?
It would take pretty exceptional circumstances for me to vote for Trump. That is correct. Like, really exceptional. Like, anyway.
Trump has nothing to gain by debating anyone.
No, he won't debate anyone. I'm not saying he will. But there is still a primary process, and the incumbent has been the nominee time.
We can do that if you want, but it's just a waste of time.
For now, let's push it aside. The fact that Scaramucci is saying...
Listen, if somebody does it...
Don't disrespect the mooch.
I'm not disrespecting the mooch, but what the mooch said was, we should look at replacing him.
Yep.
With somebody else.
In 2020.
But the problem is, you've got a party in the Republicans that wouldn't, not a single person's soul has the bald spine, gumption, whatever you want to call it, to say, you know what, Mr. President, you need to step down and we need someone else to step in.
All right. Well, at this point in time, I'm not arguing with your logic. Your logic is fine. At this point in time, let's not even banter about it because there's so much more good stuff.
All right.
Including the president's alleged effort to buy Greenland, which I want to be clear, I think this is getting overblown as media hype, but it's still hilarious to me.
Well, so here's the weird thing about it. The first place I believe I saw the story was in the New York Times. New York Times puts this story out that Trump joked about buying Greenland because of their resources. And then it was like, the more he thought about it, the more he said, oh, no, actually, maybe this is a good idea. And then, like, consistently encouraged his aides to, like, why don't you look into us buying Greenland? Right? And it's like, wait, who, what, us? Like, Trump or, like, the United States? Like, so are you seriously considering, like, one country buying another country? Yes. Look into that.
Okay. See if there's a listing on Zillow for Greenland.
Right. Go to realtor.com and see if Greenland is for sale. Look at what the cost is and let's run the numbers. Put a pro forma together. Now, so on the one hand, I do believe it's overblown, but on the other hand, the fact that we have a president of the United States who, one, like, it's one thing to joke about it, but then, like, floats it out there, right, as something that we should look into at all, is that in and of itself is terrifying, right? Like, I mean, like, no, he never made an official statement, and he's in a situation where he can back away from it and, you know, spin it. And
I don't want to get sucked into the narrative.
I don't want to get sucked into the narrative at all. But I trust the idea that he probably, I feel like what probably happened, he made a joke about it, and then he sat on it and said, well, what if we can do it, right? And I guarantee you there's some asshole out there who's going to say, this is ingenious, and he's thinking outside the box, and this is what makes him such a great president. Shut the fuck up. Whoever you are, shut the fuck up. Right? Like, whoever you are, whatever political science, economics, social, whatever, shut up. And go away. Sit down. Terrible idea. Moving on.
Though Greenland, this time of year, is lovely.
Is it?
I don't know.
It's
I have no fucking iceberg. I have no idea at all.
It's an iceberg that's melting because of completely out of fucking climate change.
There's that, but... actually, I mean, you don't want me to talk about climate change?
No, two and a half hours.
All right, so we got to talk about your boy, Chris Cuomo.
Christopher.
So Chris Cuomo got into a bit of a kerfuffle, if I may use that word.
In case you don't know, where
was he?
So in case you don't know, Chris Cuomo, he is, he's got a show on CNN. His father is
Mario Cuomo.
His brother is
Andrew Cuomo, the current governor of New York.
Yes. You know, so you've got some political lineage there. He's on CNN. He's lawyer, lifetime
meathead,
family politics. Yeah, he's a little bit of a meathead, and he's entertaining to me. He plays the role of New York Italian guy very well, but he's an intelligent guy. Who can be a bit of
and
a...
And he pumps iron in his... And, I mean,
yeah, I mean, he takes care of himself. I mean, but...
I think you get a kick out of the whole...
No, I do, because it's fucking hilarious. Yes, it's very douchey, but it's still fucking hilarious. Like, I mean, I don't have to hate him for it.
No, I agree, that's hilarious.
But he... So he gets confronted by, someone that is seemingly a Trump supporter that has issues with him. I don't know. He's at something, some public event. I'm not sure where it is. It
doesn't really matter. Because you can find that guy anywhere.
Right. And the guy the guy gets in his face. He calls Cuomo Fredo. And Fredo, Chris Cuomo loses his shit. Like, it's a whole thing. Now, what the fucked up thing is, and we're going to play the whole clip. Jim and I had a debate on how long the clip should be. It's about a minute and a half and some change. I think it's too long. Tim says it's right on
You spent more time complaining it than we would have cut off.
Fair, I know. But we'll play the clip for you. But there's a point in this where Cuomo says that, calling an Italian Fredo is like the N-word for Italians, right? Like, and that's just that over-dramatic, like, just over-the-top. And it, like, I grew up with Italians. My godson is Italian.
I'm half Italian.
Oh, you are.
I am, yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not.
No, you're not.
I thought you were putting words in my mouth. No, I'm not half Italian. My godson is Italian. My best friend is Italian. And I've grown up with this my entire life. So I think that this is somewhat hilarious.
And by the way, before we go on, this whiskey's growing on me. The more I drink it, the more I like it.
Well,
all right, anyway. A little peach flavor coming through. Go play it. Go ahead.
Yes, bitches from the right call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN.
Oh, you're much...
Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your brother?
And they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
I'm a little bit.
It's a fucking insult to your people. It's an insult to your fucking people. It's like the N-word for us.
Is
that a cool fucking thing?
You're a much more reasonable guy in person than you seem to be on television.
Yeah, but
really?
If you want to play, then we'll fucking play. If you've got something you want to say about what I do on television, then say it. But don't
tell him, Chris.
Hey, man. Hey, listen.
What?
I don't want any problems.
Yeah, you're going to have a big fucking
problem.
What's
the problem?
It's a little different on TV. Don't fucking insult me like that.
Don't do it.
You call me Fredo. It's like I call you punk bitch. You like that? You want that to be your nickname?
I didn't call you that.
You did.
Fredo. You know my name's not fucking Fredo.
I thought your name was.
You didn't know my name was fucking Fredo. Don't be a liar. You want to be a man, stand
don't
up like a man.
Be a man.
You want to be a man, I'm here. Then fucking own it. Then own what you said. Then own what you said.
Listen, man.
You're going to have a fucking problem.
What? What are you
going to
do about it?
I'll fucking ruin your shit.
Ruin your shit.
I'll throw you down these stairs like a fucking punk.
Down the stairs.
You don't fucking sue?
You don't
so you can
that.
Fucking sue?
But why don't you do it?
Go take a swing. You want to call me Fredo? Take a fucking swing. Take a fucking swing. Watch your fucking hands.
Watch your hands.
Take a swing. No, no, come on, boy. Come on, boy. So you want to call me shit? Call me shit.
Hey, listen, man.
I'm right fucking here.
I'm not doing anything.
I'll fucking wreck your shit.
Wreck your shit.
Stop.
You didn't ask me to do that.
Chris, chill.
I thought it was your name, man.
Break it up now.
I thought it was your name.
You didn't know, right? Hey, you didn't know what you were saying, right?
I thought it was his name.
You said your name. I'm breaking it.
Okay.
All right, so that is so awesome on so many levels. First of all, all right, as an Italian-American or half-Italian-American, whatever I am, Fredo and N-word, and I get to use N-word and not say nigger this time because I'm not actually quoting somebody.
Doesn't matter.
I don't have to drink a Zima for saying N-word.
You don't.
If you don't know the rule on the show, if I abbreviate, I have to drink a Zima, and I don't want to drink a Zima. I don't know where to find a Zima.
up the street at the sketchy ass.
Okay, I know exactly where to find a Zima. All right, so Chris Cuomo, it's the equivalent of N-word. Shut the fuck up.
Okay, now, all right, like, so that's him being dramatic and over the top.
Yes.
Right, but I get, like, so his point is, you know exactly who the fuck I am. Like, my father was a fucking governor. My brother is a fucking governor. Like, I'm on CNN. You call me Fredo. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, right. 100%
right. Totally
get
it, right? Now, the whole thing, oh, Fredo, that's like the N-word for Italians. No.
It is not.
That's not true.
Now, having said that, it's clearly intended to insult you. Like,
it was,
your dad is a huge person. Your brother's a huge person. You're CNN boy.
Right. and I get where he was pissed off. It's in the moment. Now listen, this is in the moment. Somebody, I don't even know who's recording this, right? Like someone.
I would bet you $1,000 that one of that guy's buddies was recording.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was all set up like, I'm going to call this guy Fredo.
Right.
I'm going to light the firecracker and let's see
exactly.
What happens.
That's exactly what it was. So he gets caught in the moment. He says something stupid. Like, and Cuomo says the dumb thing. Oh, you call me Fredo. That's like the N-word for Italians. That's dumb. But listen, I have no issue with any of this except for that. And I'm not pissed about that. It's just, it's a dumb thing to say. It's a little over the top. But listen, this is the thing. This guy is the equivalent, the guy who confronted him is the equivalent of a fucking Twitter troll. Or the guy who starts comment fights on Facebook or whatever. And this guy's been emboldened to the point where he now believes that he can do it in real life. Right? And
he's probably had three Coronas. And you know
what happens when he's probably had three Coronas and a shot of Goose. with a lime or a lemon
or Tito's
or whatever. So this guy all
or maybe
of a sudden,
a couple White Claws. He might be that bad of a
right. He had a couple White Claws and a shot of Patron, and now he's ready to
that
go.
That is more than likely. And this for being dicks, and I have for zero apology. Zero apology.
Right. He had a pumpkin spice White Claw, and now he's
which
ready to rumble.
Exist, but this guy had one.
Right, but now he's ready to rumble. So he, you know, like he gets in Cuomo's face, and that's part of the issue, right? Like you have these people who, whether especially because of the rise of social media.
He was
media,
baiting him for sure, no doubt.
Their whole goal is to be chaos agents and bait and start shit and piss people off and say things that they know are going to push people, push their buttons, make them angry, do whatever, right? You've got people
absolutely.
Who they find joy and pleasure in doing that. And it's great to do it on the internet because you know why? You're not going to get arrested. You're not going to get punched in the face. You're not going to get, you know, thrown off a balcony or
right.
thrown downstairs. So they can do it, right? But now, because it's so prevalent, people are just like, oh, well, if it happens in real life, I can just sue. I can call the police. There's no real threat to, right? And so this guy
sure.
goes up to Chris Cuomo, right, who is a celebrity and is well-known, starts shit with him. You know, oh, you're Fredo Cuomo. Oh, is that offensive to you? Oh, you're upset. Oh, why are you so upset, bro?
Right,
I thought that
right.
was your
oh,
real name.
Oh, yeah. The dude that confronted was a total douchebag.
Right, right. And the guy goes complete douchebag. Like, I just thought that's who you were. are.
Which is a total punk
answer. Why are you
answer.
So mad, bro? Oh my God, you're gonna fight me? Right, and my answer, the easy fix to this, if you're a guy like Chris Cuomo.
I'm afraid of where you're gonna go with this, but go
ahead. And you got the money. My fix to this is you wreck that motherfucker. You punch him in the throat. You punch him in the throat. You drag him down the stairs. You beat his face in and you piss on his face. And then you fuck his wife. And he's just like, you know what? Do it again. And that'll happen
again. And why will Steve never be on network?
And that's, and I get, but I, you know what that guy won't do again? He won't do that. But even if he sues you, it's like, yeah, he sues you, and yeah, you lose your job at CNN. Somebody will hire you somewhere else. You're Chris Cuomo. Your son of, brother of, your brother will bring you in the fucking governor's mansion, whatever. You'll be fine.
I'm not
But that solves this problem. Or if let's just say you're not Chris Cuomo, you're somebody else, right? And some troll comes up, then you have your bodyguard wreck that guy. And fuck his wife. I'm big on that.
Yeah, I was gonna say clearly
you gotta physically wreck him and fuck his wife.
I rarely have to downplay your mic. You are now blowing up our.
That's how you end this. Wreck them and fuck their wife or girlfriend. Okay. And if they're gay, then you gotta suck it up and fuck their boyfriend, whatever it is. But you completely demean them, right? And then this shit stops.
You know. All right. First of all.
But you can't be afraid of, like, you got to understand that you're probably going to get sued. And you're probably
arrested, by the way. If you throw the guy down the stairs and fuck his wife, which is probably not going to be a consensual act, which they have a word for. I forget how they phrase that. Yeah, all right. So this is some hyperbole.
That's hyperbole
from Steve.
That's how hyperbole.
I don't doubt that. And when you said, I know there's something, I'm like, oh, fuck, I know where this is going. But realistically, I am going to say the opposite of that and say, if you're Chris Cuomo,
you're a Nazi boy.
Okay, and you're going to be in prison, and I'm not, because if you beat the fuck out of the guy, throw him on the stairs, then rape his wife, which she has to concede to the... Anyway, which...
I'm a handsome fellow.
You are a handsome...
Hey, honey, I mean,
and
listen,
you know what? She's probably wanted to see him get thrown down the stairs for 10
right,
years.
Right, exactly.
So there's that.
Your douchebag boyfriend is laying at the bottom of the stairs. I feel like that you need a good time. Let's hang out.
Under those circumstances, I endorse your... finale to the event. But in all seriousness, Chris Cuomo needs to be smarter than this. I'm not saying better, I'm saying smarter.
Why?
Some Duke.
What did he do? He said some words. He said some things. The only dumb thing he said was... The only dumb thing he did here, Fredo's like the N-word for Italians. That's the only place where he fucked up.
And because clearly it's not. It's
not me being overprotective of the N-word. No. It's a dumb comparison.
It's
right?
a really dumb comparison.
Like Fredo was a character in a movie that wasn't real.
Pretty good insult, actually. When you're right. when you're the brother of the governor of New York and the son of a former governor of New York,
it is an insult. It's a very clever insult, but it's not on the level of a dehumanizing word.
No, right, exactly. I mean, never got lynched hearing Fredo as their last words. But having said that, if you're Chris Cuomo, you got to be smarter than this. You have
the only
to be
thing he did wrong was that was compared. No, because that's the thing. All the celebrities and all the people, like the rule is, hey, you can't say anything and you got to duck your head and you got to walk away and you got to be the bigger man, you got to be the bigger person. And all that, what does that do? All that is doing is emboldening these fucking trolls, right? They go from Twitter to fucking Facebook to Instagram and they're just like, oh, well, there's no repercussions. Now I'm going to do it in real life. If you hit me, I'm going to sue you. You can't hit me, so I can say whatever I want with no rules whatsoever. I can say whatever I want to you. As long as they don't threaten you, I can say whatever I want to you, and there's no rules, and you have to take it. And if you don't walk away, if you do anything, then you're the bad guy. So I'm going to do it. So you know what? You know how you fix that? You say, you know what? Now there is a consequence. Now you can't leave.
Well, you know, all right. Again, I fundamentally disagree with you, but on some levels, I mean, look,
you're really not going to acknowledge my Bronx Tale reference? Fuck you, Jim. Okay.
Well, if Chris Cuomo had just lit this,
you're just not going to acknowledge my Bronx Tale reference at all.
I haven't seen Bronx Tale in so fucking long. I did not catch it. You can hate me all you want. You know what? I'm going to throw you down these stairs that aren't here. Yeah.
That ends with you getting thrown up the stairs.
But
why are we friends?
Are we still friends? I don't know if this is ended right now. Whiskey, that's why we're friends. I think Chris Cuomo handled this poorly, just because he someone was baiting him and he took the bait, and that is a mistake. When someone tries to lure you into something and you should be able to smell it a mile away,
well,
and say,
so this is where
I'm
I'll
not falling for it.
You get lured, you get baited, right? The rule should be don't get hooked. But if you get hooked, then you better.
Then you fight. Then you're. Yeah,
then you fight. So I'll say this: either say nothing, either you turn and walk away, or if you're gonna get hooked, then you give him a right hook, and just like, well, now you're on the ground.
My bad, bro. Yeah.
You know, that's how you solve it. Like, either you walk away or you solve it.
And I will go middle ground on you here and say, if I'm Chris Cuomo, I go, good one, whatever. You say something where you're trying to egg me on. I actually drop something, reach out to pick it up and headbutt you and go, oh, I'm so fucking sorry.
Okay, well,
which is
okay,
different.
Fine, that's a middle ground.
I didn't fuck his wife and throw him down the flight of stairs.
I mean, I think the fucking of the wife is key.
It's key. That's a punctuation.
Wife or girlfriend or the you got to suck it up and do the boyfriend. You got to suck it up and do the boyfriend. Either way, you make sure that he has been dominated.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna.
Will he do it again?
Will that guy do it again? Not Chris Cuomo.
Not after all that.
After all that. True, but trying to take down one troll at a time is going to be a lengthy process.
I've got the length.
And I trust the process. That's a Buffalo Bills joke. Anyway,
that's a NFL joke of every team that's
trust
been
the
bad.
Trust the process.
And you'll be fired next year.
And you're not. All right, so we had another thing go on in political / social commentary. And Bill Maher has been calling for his wish that we have a recession for a long time. And he's like, if we have a recession, Trump will get voted out of office and blah, blah, blah. I've been a fan of Bill Maher for a while, and I'm going to say I still am. My fanhood of Bill Maher has wavered. This annoys the fuck out of me. Because anytime... So, two things. One, yeah, Bill Maher, a recession doesn't affect you, because you've got your $1 million an episode, 15 episode a year, 25 episode a year show on HBO, and you live in a fucking mansion in California.
I think he gets like $5 million.
Okay, whatever. I don't know. I don't care.
I looked it up.
It's
between like $3 and $5 million an episode.
And
it's
does 20-some a year. So you're $60 million a year annual salary. Good for you, Bill Maher. Yeah, you're clever. Yeah, you're funny. But to root for people to suffer so you get what you want politically is exactly why people hate liberal elites, right? I mean, there's all this talk about out-of-touch Hollywood liberal elites. And you're basically saying, yeah, you can afford to live on mac and cheese and top ramen for a couple years just to get rid of this Trump guy because I don't like him. Fine, Bill Maher. You can have that opinion. But you're admitting that you are exactly what makes so many people hate your fucking guts. As a comic, I like the guy. As a show, I love his show. But fuck right off and shut your fucking arrogant elitist pie hole, because you are hurting the cause you claim to embrace. I'm doubting that I'm offending you with anything that I've said. If I'm offending other people, come at me. Jim@WhiskeyCongress.com. Tweet at us @WhiskeyCongress.com. Tell me how I'm wrong. Bill Maher, shut the fuck up. Don't be a douche. You're hurting the cause you claim to represent. I know you gave $1 million to Obama. Good for you. Thank you. Now shut the fuck up. Done.
Congratulations. That's your boy.
I stood up for him. I won't deny it.
You know, I mean, he's just such a pompous ass. I can't stand him. You know, this whole idea, I hope the economy tanks because Trump will be out of office. Like, oh, thanks. Well, you're going to get your $1 million, $5 million a show no matter what, and I may lose my six-figure, five-figure, four-figure, whatever I make,
right.
Job, right? All because right? Like, you know, yeah, because it's kind of...
But what are your, right, what you're rooting
right, for? Like, you're rooting for something that's literally going... That may ruin my life. I lose my job. I could lose my house. I could lose my family. Like, all the things that could fucking happen if this... Like, why the fuck would you root for that?
And right? See, like, I mean, bigger picture, just how out of touch is he? How out of touch is he to say that?
Completely out of touch. Completely out of... And this is the point that I've been arguing with you for a long time. Like, the reason why I have such a hard time with him in his show is that he sits on there with a panel of him and, you know, Huffington and... Seth MacFarlane and all these people.
He does invite conservatives on his show. And okay, gets
okay,
them
fine. Pick a, okay, fine. Whatever. But he's got all these people are making millions of dollars a fucking year.
True.
Right, and then they talk like they're talking on your behalf or my behalf. Right, but at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter. You know, who's in control of the Fed or whatever. I mean, like, these people are getting, they're getting so much money. And listen, I don't begrudge them because they make money. I aspire to figure out a way to make the money that they make. Sure. Right? I would love to be in that class. But the idea that they're going to sit here and tell me, like, hey, by the way, I hope that all your shit gets fucked up so it makes me feel better. You can fuck all the way off, bro. Like, you can fuck, like, you want to sit there and say... The whole thing with the immigration and the wall and the detention centers is fucked up. Cool. You want to sit there and talk about the police beating dudes who look like me just because we're driving down the street and the police don't like us? Cool. But the second you start talking about, hey...
I want the economy to crash.
Hey, I want the economy to crash. You lose your job. You lose your house. You lose your family. You end up, you know, destitute and in prison because that'll make me feel better. Then it's just like... You know what? The same thing I want to happen to the, you know, in-person troll, now I want to happen to you, Bill Maher. Because, like, and that's the thing that turns people, that's the thing that the GOP is pointing at and be like, yo, that's the guy that's on your side? The guy who wants to ruin your financial life, your actual life, and take things out of your pocket? That's the guy that you want to stand behind and align yourself with?
Or actually, I think more accurate way to say it is, they're going to play that on Fox News and say, this is the guy that represents the liberals, and it's going to work.
But, yeah, I mean, okay, yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
But either way, I mean, we're saying the exact same thing. They're going to point to him. The GOP, conservatives, Republicans are going to point to guys like Bill Maher, right?
That's how liberals think.
That's how y'all think. That's the guy that you want to support.
Yep.
Right, and how can I, as a working class citizen, right? Like, I don't make millions of dollars a year, right? If I lose my job, if I lose my job, then
you got a mortgage, like, and a wife,
right,
and a kid.
Yeah, I got shit going on, right? Like, I mean, like, I need to make money now. I'm a fucking hustler. I'll figure it out. But that being said, like don't wish ill will upon me. And what you're advocating for is ill will. Right? Upon me and you. If the economy tanks, like, there's ripple effects across the board. There's so many people that are impacted on so many levels. And that's why...
Is the smug, out-of-touch nature of that.
Yes, and that's why I've had a big problem with him for a long time, where I've been... That's why you're like, oh, this is fucking hilarious. I'm like, it's not hilarious because he's a fucking asshole.
Well, look, I've never said he wasn't an asshole. I just like his show. I like his show. I like his stand-up. But he's definitely a pompous, you know... out of touch asshole. I've never argued that, but in this went over the line to me because this went from being a smug.
Man, just stick to Dave Chappelle.
I watched Dave Chappelle killing him softly last week. Now, okay, I'll be fair with it. I could talk an hour about this. First of all, I remember watching that in 2000. It is one of the best comedy specials I have ever seen. Watched it again like 3 nights ago.
Johnson, he's got pictures of himself all over the place.
I've seen this before, before I was a rookie. All right, so part of it is...
Sprinkle some crack on
him. Let's get out of here. Put pictures of his family all over the place. All right, first of all, watch it again. Young Dave Chappelle, again. That special came out in 2000, so 19 years ago. I watched Skinny Dave Chappelle. Young Dave Chappelle.
Which he's not fat now.
He
started eating and did like 7 push-ups, and all of a sudden he looks like an adult.
Steve, all right, full disclosure, I was blazed out of my mind in bed.
Ooh.
I'm admitting it this far in. We'll see. And take it how you want. I was blazed on sugar. I had a bunch of licorice, which I did have a bunch of licorice. That is a true statement.
So gross.
I love licorice. But
wait, black licorice or
no,
regular?
Red cherry. Cherry. Red vines. I will fight anyone. Red vines, best licorice out there. I was so fucking mesmerized watching Dave Chappelle, just every aspect of his quote-unquote comedy game, the changing voices, the body language, the delivery, everything. It was so fucking great. Now, again, there was some chemical influence.
But however, it doesn't matter. What I'll tell you is...
I respect him that much more after watching that.
So, I just rewatched the special on Netflix that Dave Chappelle did in Austin. He was in Austin, Texas. Yep. He did one before that, and I think he was in L.A. The one
He was in the Comedy Store, I think.
Right, the one where he was at the Comedy Store, and he was talking about the times that he met O.J., right? That one was very funny. But the one in Austin, to me, nonstop funny from beginning to end. And if you have Netflix, go on Netflix tonight, tomorrow, whenever you listen to us, in the next couple days, Dave Chappelle, find the one where he was in Austin, and it is... I put it right up there with Killing Me Softly. I put it right up there. Tim, you need to see it.
Like, I've seen it. It's fantastic.
It is.
I saw both
just
of the specials.
That opening where he's talking about where he got hit with the snowball with the kids and he had to make the decision whether he was going to press charges or not. And it never went downhill. It never went downhill from there.
What the one where he talks about how he writes a punchline and then tells a joke backwards. Anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't the one in Austin.
Okay, that was, I think it was L.A. But he is, I've respected Dave Chappelle for a very, very long time. I think he's one of the best comics ever.
Yes.
But when I was watching him the other night, I was so mesmerized, I couldn't fall asleep for like 2 hours, and it ended at like 1:30 in the morning on my DVR. So at 1:30 in the morning, I'm like, that was fucking incredible.
Well, that's because your sleeping patterns are a train wreck, and
much of me is. But... just as great as he is, he just once again amazed the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
He needs to be Mount Rushmore comics ever.
I'll put him up there.
And Bill Maher is not.
I mean, no. Oh, God, no. Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Bill Cosby, Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy.
Louis C.K. You can hate him all you want. He's a great comic.
Sure, fine.
Sam Kinison.
No.
Yes.
No.
You don't remember Sam Kinison the way I did.
I do.
He died when you were 15.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, he changed the game. Rodney Dangerfield, be in the discussion.
We're talking about a Mount Rushmore here.
Yeah, true. True. And again, I can do this for hours.
I don't think it's a good idea.
But there's a few other things we want to talk about. And one of them was...
where are we on the time?
We're just over 52 minutes.
Okay.
So we got to get to Jay-Z in the NFL.
Hove.
Because your boy, Hova. So he's what's the name of his company?
Oh, my God. Oh, I had no idea what the fuck you were talking about. Rock Nation.
Rock Nation, thank you. I know it wasn't Rogue
Jesus
Aware.
Christ.
I know it wasn't Rogue. Anyway, so Jay-Z.
Okay, so the clothing line was Rock Aware.
Okay.
Years ago.
And that was him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, him and Dame Dash. But... The entertainment conglomerate, whatever you want to call it, is Rock Nation. If you look at the way Jay-Z has kind of built his empire,
he is a billionaire.
Him and Beyonce, like he's a billionaire, but I mean between him and Beyonce, it's absurd what they've done. Him, Beyonce, LeBron, how they kind of structure their entities. It's just remarkable, right? Like I mean, and when you have supreme talent, you can do what they do. So Jay-Z and Roc Nation did a partnership with the NFL where Jay-Z... And now, I haven't seen details. As of Friday at 6:30 p.m., details haven't been released of how exactly the relationship between Roc Nation and the NFL is going to work. We know that there's a social justice component where there's going to be some philanthropy. We also know there's going to be an entertainment component where Jay-Z and or Beyonce may perform at halftime. And if they don't, then their artists will. I'm not sure if the NFL knows exactly what they just signed up for, but okay. And I think it's a solid move. I think it's a great move. Now, there's a lot of consternation amongst the progressive community and the black community because of Colin Kaepernick, right? Like, you've got this faction of people that are protesting the NFL because Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job in the NFL because he took a knee and he's being blacklisted. I think we all agree, we all know that Colin Kaepernick is being blacklisted because he took a knee. Now, people will argue, like, well, Eric Reed also took a knee and he's in the league. He's got a contract. They gave him $20 million. So it's not about race. It's just that Colin Kaepernick can't play. Bullshit. Nathan Peterman is still in the NFL.
Nathan Peterman had a 65-yard run.
Peterman can suck my dick and lick my asshole. He is fucking awful. All right, I don't care what he does in the preseason. The preseason isn't real. He's the best preseason
quarterback ever.
He is the worst real season quarterback of all time.
Statistically, I think you can make that argument.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong.
I mean, he's fucking awful. You can go down the list, right, of all these really terrible quarterbacks that are backups that are in the that have been in the league for 3, 5, 10 fucking years, right?
I mean,
Derek Anderson from the Cleveland Browns was a backup to Cam Newton for how long? Like, Derek Anderson just retired last year.
This year is a Buffalo Bill.
Right, I mean, because he got knocked the fuck out. I was with you when he got knocked out during that game. And just like, is he coming back? I'm like, no, Jim.
He actually bounced back.
He did not come back from when he got knocked out of that game when he got that concussion.
He did not play another game. I don't think, but he did stay on the team. And he was on the active roster.
Is that the standard? Okay. Whole point is that Colin Kaepernick is not in the league. Derek Anderson was with a half scrambled brain. Okay, so listen, there's some frustration with the fact that Colin Kaepernick isn't in the league. And a lot of people the argument is, well, he kneeled, or he knelt.
He knelt. Get your grammar straight, sir.
He knelt, and then he sued the league because he was being blackballed. The league settled with him. So he should accept the fact that he was awarded a settlement, was given money, and he should be happy with that. And my argument is, it's bullshit. He got blackballed for no good fucking reason by the NFL, right? Ultimately.
Well, he got blackballed because he took a stand that offended a lot of people. A lot of people.
But here's the problem that you. Hold on. All right. So here's the problem that the NFL has. Eric Reed and Kenny Stills are still kneeling. Okay. Eric Reed is in the NFL playing for the Panthers, a starter, making, you know, $5 million a year. Kenny Stills is an average receiver who I had on my fantasy team who was boom or bust, and he was a lot more bust than boom, so I fucking hate him.
Didn't Kenny Stills have a whole bunch of off-the-field shit? Is he the Rutgers kid? Who's the kid from Rutgers that got in all that trouble?
No. One, that's a bad look by you, by the way.
Who was the kid that...
I don't know who you're talking...
His name's...
No, it's not Kenny. I know exactly who you're talking about. It's not Kenny Stills.
Okay. It's a bad look by me because I've got the wrong name, but there was that
one
guy.
Well, the timing is awful because it's almost like you're equating, well, he was kneeling, but it's because he was a bad guy.
No. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is there was that one guy who just kept getting into really dumb shit.
But he was really talented.
He played for the Rams for a bit, and I'm sorry.
Kenny Britt. Right. I never got to it, but it's Kenny Britt.
All right, thank you. Kenny Stills, Kenny Britt.
Kenny Stills, Kenny Britt, that's fair. No, not Kenny Britt. Kenny Britt, I think, played for the Browns as well. But no, Kenny, so you've got these guys that are kneeling, that are in the league right now on rosters. So, and Eric Reed was out of the league, right? Because Eric Reed was Kaepernick's teammate in San Francisco, became a free agent, didn't get signed. Kaepernick was out of the league. They come to their settlement, and then Reed gets signed by the Panthers and is a starter for them, and he's still kneeling. Kaepernick, on the other hand, is not in the league. Now, a lot of people will go to, he just doesn't have it anymore, and he doesn't have the skill set to play, except for when you look at his last season. Yes, San Francisco was terrible, but he threw 16 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. He had a 93 passer rating, and his numbers were pretty decent, right? San Francisco in those years were fucking terrible, right? It was after Harbaugh left, but it was before Kyle Shanahan got there. So whoever the... I forget the coach that was there.
So does everybody else.
Right, worry. Something... I don't know.
I think it was Kenny Britt.
No, Kenny Britt was not the coach. Something Italian. It was actually an Italian guy's name. I want to say Mazzaria or something like that. Either way.
I think his name was Fredo.
Fredo. It was Fredo Cuomo. Was the coach. They were terrible.
Fredo Cuomo.
When you look at his numbers, you say, all right, well, this... I mean, at that point in time, the guy could still play. And the whole idea of the fact that he's out of league for one reason and one reason only. It's because he knelt. He was the
circus he would bring to a team.
He was the... My argument is, you bring him to a team like Seattle, Baltimore, whatever... You bring him in knowing, and you tell him, like, you're not going to be a starter.
Right.
No matter what happens, unless someone...
Someone goes down.
Someone goes down, or a sniper takes out our starting quarterback and our backup quarterback, you will never see the field. But we need to bring you into the... We need to bring you into the league so all this stops. So you will be our second or third string quarterback. That is it. We will pay you the league minimum for a person.
I don't think he would do that. I don't think Kaepernick would do that.
Well, I think you have to articulate. You have to articulate it better than what I'm doing.
Oh, good.
Right,
you're not
now.
Good. That was not your.
You have to do better than what I'm doing right now. But I think you bring him in and say, listen, you can compete. I think you need a team that has a solid starter, but he fits the role as a backup. Like, so Seattle should have worked. Baltimore should have worked. Houston could have worked, right? Like, I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like even Tampa Bay, like any of those. Any situation where you've got a quarterback who's semi-mobile, Buffalo. Even Buffalo, I think. I would bring him in and I would just say, all right, I'm going to fucking stash you. Do whatever you're going to do. If you still feel the kneel, fucking kneel, do whatever. You bring him in, you bring the media in and just say, listen, dude's got talent. He could play. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's an NFL caliber quarterback. You're going to get a ton of questions week one, week two, and as long as your starter is decent, it doesn't fucking matter.
But we know two things. He's been out of the league for what?
The way the NFL works, here's the thing. The way the NFL works, you bring Kaepernick in, he's a backup. It's all, like, you bring him in now, it's all over by week two, week three of the season. It's over.
True. I'm the only thing I would say at this point, he's been out of the league. This will be his third year out of the league. And no one wants to deal with...
Tommy Maddox.
Okay, but Tommy Maddox. Nobody wants to deal with the circus that would come with that.
There's no...
Or a backup quarterback.
No
one wants to deal with that.
But the way the news cycle is, and it's because of your president, because of Donald fucking Trump, the news cycle moves so fast, it would be over in an instant.
Look, I mean, I think Kaepernick is more talented than essentially every backup quarterback in the league.
You wouldn't take Colin Kaepernick over fucking Drew Stanton?
I would.
Right.
In a second. So the Bills' current backup is Matt Barkley. I'd rather have Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
But the NFL hates drama. They hate dealing with politics. And he's been out of the league long enough now.
They're their own worst. I think if no one brings him in, no one's going to.
Right.
No one brings him in after this season. Then his whole bid for the NFL is done.
Yeah.
Unless he goes to Canada, which and my argument would be like, listen, go to Canada, fucking line it up, right? Like go to Canada.
In that game, he'd probably be a perfect fit too.
Go to Canada.
That game rewards mobile quarterbacks so much more.
Like you're not gonna make $900,000 a year, but you make $300,000 a year, which they'll take half. and go light it up over there and see what happens. Maybe you have a Doug Flutie. Sort of resurgence in the league, right? Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Like, that, if I'm his agent, that's what I'm telling him. But I think the other part of it is that he's making the stance that I'm only going to the NFL. I'm NFL talent.
Of all, he got paid huge when he was still an NFL starting quarterback.
Yes.
Then he got a settlement with the NFL, which was not disclosed.
I bet he was paid
handsomely.
I've heard everything from, oh, it wasn't nearly as much as you thought it was, to it was way more than you thought it was. So I don't even want to speculate what the settlement was.
Then Nike.
He got paid by Nike, period.
So right now, he's made a ton of money to not get the shit kicked out of him.
Financially, he's fine.
Yeah. And that's my point.
And part of it is, like, listen, he's also probably the healthiest he's ever been.
Yeah. That's where I was going to go.
Surgeries, all that shit. He's recovered. No, he hasn't played for 3 years, for two and a half years or whatever, however long it's been. But he's probably the healthiest he's ever been. So, I mean, I can make an argument. Like, listen, you bring in a fresh, healthy guy who's got Super Bowl fucking experience. How does that hurt your team?
And, well, I might go the other direction and say, if you're Colin Kaepernick, do you even want to go through the grind of training camp, the grind of all this stuff?
If you love the game.
If you love the game. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, you brought up Derek Anderson earlier. Derek Anderson retired, like, 2 days before training camp started. I would put a bunch of money on the idea that Derek Anderson was like, you know what? I'm tired of dealing with this shit. I played 14 years in the NFL. I want to, you know.
I want candy.
That's not where I was hoping this would go. Okay. But it, I mean, really, it's like, I don't want to deal with this shit anymore, and I don't have to. And I guarantee you, Colin Kaepernick has made way more money than Derek Anderson and done so more recently. And I think he's probably just like, or he may well be in the mindset of, I've done it, I'm done. I don't know. I have not heard him speak in a long time. There's one more thing I want to get to because...
Okay, so breaking news.
Breaking news. Whiskey Congress, breaking news. We actually
Jay-Z to become NFL part owner. Significant ownership interest in an NFL team in the near future.
Interesting. And he consulted with Colin Kaepernick, so if Colin Kaepernick wants to get back in...
No, he
spoke with Colin Kaepernick.
This is what happened. Jay-Z was like, yo... So I'm about to pull this deal off with the NFL. I talked to them about you coming back in. They said it's up to the individual teams. They can't make any of them sign you. Doesn't sound like any of them want to sign you. I support you, but I'm about to secure the bag. So I'm going to go secure the bag. I really don't give a fuck what you and your fucking girlfriend have to say about it. I hope we can still be cool, but if not, peace be with you, brother. I'm off to be super rich. And that's
super
how that
comes. Super more rich, by right, the way. Super, because Jay-Z was a billionaire super before.
Richer.
Right. He was a legit billionaire.
I'm about to go play with my friends.
I'm about to tell Jerry Jones, hey, I want to borrow your boat for the weekend, bitch.
Yes.
His $250 million yacht.
That's where Jay-Z is going.
If we could do an entire show talking about Jerry Jones's yacht, would I get to say a word?
Mm-mm.
No, I didn't think so. Okay. Mm-mm. All right. So one
you know my obsession with fucking boats.
With boats, yachts, and Jerry Jones. Yes. So yes, that would be...
I'm rich as shit.
If we could somehow get Stormy Daniels on Jerry Jones's yacht, I don't think you'd make it off the yacht, to be honest with you. All right. One more thing we need to talk about. We got to wrap this up because we've gone a bit long.
The only good thing is that we know Stormy wouldn't end up pregnant.
That's... All right. Moving on. So, I don't even know the name. Thank you for... I wish that we had this on video. The coach of University of Louisiana at Lafayette, I'm guessing. I don't even know that.
Yeah, that's it. Lafayette. Okay. The Raging Cajuns.
Raging Cajuns. Was trying to get his players to make a $50 donation to a booster club. Yeah, tell the story, because you told me about this.
All right,
this, so... fucking mind, Steve.
Real quick, and we got to get out. But, so, the coach of the Raging Cajuns told his college athletes... It's a college football team that each player on the team had to make a minimum of a $50 donation to the booster club as active players, right? Which means whether you're on scholarship or you're a walk-on, like you have to give 50 of your dollars to the booster club as an active player. The way the booster club typically works is that, you know, once you graduate from school and you've got a job and you're making some money, you give back to help... Sure. Whatever program, athletic, English department, whatever.
Sure.
You know, like you donate back to the alumni, right? Like, so I graduated from the University of Massachusetts. Every year, I give $300, $150 to the football team, and then $150 to the general scholarship fund, which goes to the academics, right? I should probably do more, but I mean, that's what I do. That also secures me tickets to certain games.
Sure.
They just never play close to where we're at. Anyway. But the idea of a coach mandating that his players, his current players, right, players who aren't allowed to work and based off the NCAA rules aren't allowed to receive money for their likeness and all this other shit.
Right.
The fact that he's going to tell those guys, give up, like, if they get a Pell Grant, they get, you know, maybe $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a year, and a majority, 80, 70, 90% of that shit is going to rent anyway. And then the rest of it is going to, like, food and shoes and underwear or whatever the fuck.
Sure.
The idea that they're going to give up $50 to the fucking booster program before they're even fucking alumni is absurd.
$50 to a college kid is a week's worth of food plus. That's a
ton of fucking money, right? Like, yeah. Do you know how much pizza, wings, Gatorade, protein, all the various things that you could buy, you know, on outline for an exam, whatever it might be. But it's just, it's ridiculous the fact that you're going to put that sort of requirement on the players. Now, what happened is the school came back and backtracked and said, oh, it's not a requirement, but strongly encouraged by the head coach. So if you're a player for that team and the coach says this is not mandatory, but it's strongly encouraged, right? Are you sitting there thinking, well, fuck it, I don't have the money, I'm not going to do it. And there's no possible way that this could affect my playing time.
Right, right. Or right? My dream of making a career
on the sport. What if you're a player, right? Like, what if you're somebody who, you know, is from a very wealthy family, right? And it's just like, hey, coach said everybody's got to give 50. And dad says,
well, I'll give $2,000.
What if you give 50,000? Will you start? I don't know. Let's give him 50,000 and see what happens.
Or, hey, if my son gives 50,000, is he starting?
Right. Like, I mean, like, it's worth asking the question. You float it out there. And so, like, yeah, that's really nefarious. But this is fucking college sports, which is a big-time money-making venue. And so the idea that these kids are just going to sit there and say, well, yes, it's strongly encouraged, but I don't have the $50, so fuck it, I'm not going to give it. Like, that's not what's happening. These kids are now scrambling, trying to figure out, like, where the fuck do I get $50? Now, if you're listening to this, if you're listening to us right now, you're thinking, I can get $50 like that. But if you're a fucking college kid at fucking Louisiana, at the University of Louisiana Lafayette, right? Like, the best you can do is probably a bouncer job only in the summer where you make fucking $50 a night and you only work one night a week. Right, like, I mean, and just like, and you use that money for food and protein and milk and whatever. The idea of making college kids pay this is ridiculous. On top of the fact that they're limited in what they're allowed to do in terms of working, and they're not allowed to make money on their likeness. So the NCAA can make money on people buying their jersey and buying things that emulate what they do on the field, but those kids can't make a dime from it. And then you're going to turn around and make them pay money into the school just because it gives them a better connection with the school? Bullshit.
So to me, the crazy thing is, $50 a kid brings nothing to these booster. There's 85 kids on scholarship in college football teams. So rounding up to 1,000, so 100 kids.
It's $4,200.
Yeah. So What is the possible motivation for this moron coach shaking down his kids, which is what I will call
it? It's exactly what it is. It's a shakedown of these kids.
To do what? Give $4,000 to people who give money to make themselves feel special so they go to sporting events and
He says it ties the kids to the university, gives them sense of respect for the
This coach should be fired right now. It's not for anything other than being such a fucking moron.
You know, the Associated Press and ESPN, they go out and they talk to all other coaches, you know, across the college, and they're like, no, would never do this, never heard of this.
Nick Saban, Nick Saban, despise,
right,
would never be like, yeah, I want $50 from each of my scholarship players because, well, it'll help you connect.
Could you imagine Dabo Sweeney?
I hate Dabo Sweeney. I think he's a douchebag. But no, I cannot imagine a
Urban Meyer, John Harbaugh,
There's not
a single one of them I can imagine saying.
What the fuck is the real motivation for this from this coach?
No idea.
It has to be going straight to his pocket. And if you're a coach, $4,200 goes in your pocket to change your life.
I disagree. I think he actually thinks this is a good idea. I think he thinks that somehow this will Now you've got a vested interest in this program. You paid $50 for the last 3-4 years. You have a vested interest not only playing on the field, but once you get out, you'll give back. And by you can doing this, it's $50 now. But when, you know, that first couple years, when you get a job, it'll be $100, then it'll be $1,000, and then it'll be $10,000. And then next thing you know, we'll be like LSU.
All right.
Again, I guarantee you that's his thought process. It's 100% flawed and wrong and not right.
And I go back to what I was about to say is, if I find out about this and I'm the college president, I'm firing you, not because you're a sleazebag, because you're a fucking moron.
Idiot. Because you're an idiot.
Yes. I just so.
Like, if this is your idea, like, I can't trust you.
I know how we'll solve this problem.
I can't trust you to run an offense, a defense, special teams, a practice.
I can't trust you to run a concession stand.
Right.
I will not trust you with the boiled hot dogs that have been soaking in water since 2006. Mm. All right, I'm ready to.
I do love me some game day hot dogs.
They're disgusting. I guarantee they're worse than Lafayette, Louisiana.
Oh.
They need to be char grilled. Good hot dogs, char grilled. Period.
The audacity.
You were talking about fucking some dude's wife after throwing him down a flight of stairs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a stand on grilled hot dogs. I'm the crazy one. You're ready. Close this up, brother.
Peace be with you, brother.
We are out at Whiskey Congress on all social media. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com. Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com to email us. If you have taken any offense at anything we've said today.
Sorry.
And you want to. No, I'm not. Sorry. Just email us and let us know.
I'm a little bit sorry.
And you're... Okay, thank you for being a little bit sorry. We're out. Enjoy.